The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferentz.
A major move on rail safety, the two-person crew rule finalized. OSHA signs off on the walk-around rule, what that means for worker safety. Nurses on strike for 3 days in California. And today on the show, the Ohio State Building Trades and the career fair that exceeded all expectations. Welcome to the Wednesday, April 3rd edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Mike Nisley. Mike is the Secretary Treasurer of the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council, website ohiostatebtc.org. The Ohio State Building Trades Council is comprised of 137 trade unions representing about 100,000 men and women who put on a hard hat every day and uphold the tradition of American building excellence across the state of Ohio. Mike was previously president of the Ohio State Building Trades Council, president of the board of the Lima Building and Construction Trades Council, and business manager of the United Association of Plumbers, Pipefitters, and Service Techs, Local 776, out of Lima, Ohio. So we'll get an update on what's going on in the state, especially in the central part of the state. Columbus, that area on fire. You got the Intel plant, which, by the way, got some good news on that recently. Senator Sherrod Brown announced almost $20 billion more for what they call Intel fabs in the state of Ohio. And Mike is quoted as saying, this means about 45 million work hours on just the first phase. That's pretty amazing. So that raises the question, do we have enough people? And we're going to get into that. The apprenticeship programs are doing very, very well. In fact, we had a great career fair. I'll get to that in a minute in northeastern Ohio. This was last week. But we'll find out how those apprenticeships are going right now. We'll also take a look at, well, let's see, there's Honda. There's a refinery bill. Number of things they're talking about in the State House. So we'll cover it all with Mike Nisley. Doreen Cannon will be joining us later on the show. She's the former head of Plumbers 55, plumbers55.com. And she's been, well, she's been on the show a number of times, especially in the role of promoting apprenticeships. And last week, this was last Wednesday, they handed out 395 information sheets as people came in to the career fair, finding out, see, where what's the best opportunity? And I'll tell you, they had a great showing by the trades. Heat and frost insulators, operating engineers, laborers, carpenters, boilermakers, pipe fitters, plumbers, iron workers, painters, bricklayers, allied craft workers, roofers, cement masons, electricians, sheet metal workers. Also, Tri-C was there as well, the Cuyahoga Community College, which is really involved in furthering education because, you know, it's a different world out there today. You know, what happened back in the 70s and 80s, it's not the same. There's a lot of education that goes into these programs, so it's good to have those partnerships with community colleges as well. So Doreen, she was so excited about what happened last Wednesday night, and she said, you know what? Got to come on America's Workforce and talk about that. So she'll be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. And now a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management, offering fixed income, real estate, and equity investment options to clients from coast to coast. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Big announcement out of Washington yesterday. The Biden administration on Tuesday required the largest freight railroads to operate their trains with at least two people on board. And this is all about rail safety. The new rule arrives more than a year after a Norfolk Southern train derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, spilling hazardous chemicals into the air and soil. Now, that train, it was 150 cars, it did have three people on board, but it raised the question, wait a minute, the industry is trying to push for one person to drive a train like that. Well, you know what? The Transportation Trades Department said, you can't do that. In fact, we had a statement today from Greg Regan, who we have featured on the show many, many times. Greg is the president of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. And he said, for years, rail workers and unions have sounded the alarm about the need for two-person crews. Well, thanks to the actions of the Biden administration, our calls for action have been answered. We applaud the final rule to require a minimum of two crew members on trains and establish minimum requirements for the location of crew members on moving trains to promote safe and effective teamwork. Greg goes on to say this rule acknowledges that crew size is fundamentally a safety issue at its core. Rail workers experience the risks of the job daily and have made it clear that two-person crews are inherently necessary to ensure the safe operation of our rail systems. While the Federal Railroad Administration has considered action on crew size, and this has been going on for about a decade, operational and safety changes across the industry the last several years have only heightened the need for strong crew size regulations. By implementing a minimum federal standard across the industry, we can continue to partner with the Biden administration to address the significant safety concerns presented by railroads operating with single-person crews. Greg Regan goes on to say, we thank President Biden for ensuring that his administration delivered this essential rail safety rule, and we look forward to continuing to partner with Secretary Pete Buttigieg and Administrator Amit Rose to ensure the strongest possible safety standards in the rail industry. We also salute the Biden administration's strong commitment to rail safety and continuing support for paid sick leave agreements for all rail workers. That's Greg Regan on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. And you can find more. In fact, that's all posted at ttd.org. More on worker safety. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, better known as OSHA, has announced a final, what they call, walk-around rule that empowers workers to authorize non-employees, including union affiliates, to accompany and advise OSHA inspectors. This is pretty significant. Non-employee reps must be reasonably necessary to ensure an effective and thorough inspection, a requirement satisfied by language skills or expertise with workplace hazards. OSHA's guidance suggests the representatives can wear clothing indicating their union affiliation, but may be prohibited from discussing issues unrelated to the inspection with workers. The president of SEIU Local 32BJ, Manny Pastrike, praised the new rule, which will take effect next month. This is what he said. We commend President Biden for putting the force of law and the power of OSHA's authority behind the workers' right to choose their own representative, thus ensuring a fair and accurate inspection takes place. Now, you know, there's going to be a challenge to this. Most likely, the Chamber of Commerce is considering all options, they say, including litigation. However, our friends at National COSH, that's the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health, they are saluting this. The recent tragedy, they report, in Baltimore is a terrible reminder about the thousands of U.S. workers each year who go to work but never come home. That comment from Jessica Martinez, co-executive director of National COSH. Tens of thousands more die from long-term exposure to workplace hazards, and millions more become sick or injured. by giving workers a stronger voice in inspecting their workplaces and correcting preventable hazards, OSHA's new walk-around rule can play a significant role in reducing the risk of occupational illnesses, injuries, as well as fatalities. That was Jessica Martinez, co-executive director of National COSH. Great organization. We have featured them many, many times on this show. Let's go out to California in what is expected to be a three-day strike impacting three hospitals and possibly patient care. Thousands of nurses in Santa Clara County walked off the job early yesterday in protests over workplace conditions, wages, and staffing ratios. Now, that strike, by the way, the first in the union's history, started at 5 in the morning. It's scheduled to end at 7 a.m. this Friday. It could affect county-owned clinics as well as its three hospitals, Santa Clara Valley Medical Center and O'Connor Hospital in San Jose and St. Louis Regional Hospital in Gilroy. 97% of the members of the Registered Nurses Professional Association, which represents 3,750 nurses working for the Santa Clara Valley healthcare system, voted earlier this year to authorize a three-day unfair labor practice strike. The Nurses Association is asking the county for a 15% wage increase through October of next year, 5% annually retroactive to the expiration of the last contract in October. In a news release announcing the strike, the union said the county's wages just haven't kept pace with compensation at other local hospitals, both public and private. As a result, the Nurses Association said it's been difficult to hire and retain nurses and that many have trouble affording to live in the communities that they serve. Now, the county disagrees. They're saying that they have a competitive salary, the benefits are good, and they shouldn't be actually going on strike right now, but they did that anyway. Wages, though, aren't the only sticking point in those talks. The nurses' union said the county has ignored unsafe staffing ratios and failed to make sufficient investments in resources to keep healthcare workers safe. Several county nurses said there's been an uptick in workplace violence in recent years, and the county hasn't done hardly anything about it. Maybelline Q, who's the association's vice president, who's been a nurse at Valley Medical for a decade, says nurses are often yelled at, kicked, slapped, spit on, or groped by patients. Back in 2021, she was punched in the face by a patient who was upset he wasn't allowed to eat before surgery. As a result, she received a concussion. She was out of work for 9 months. My gosh, we definitely have to support the nurses over there, and that strike, it's on right now, and it should end at 7 a.m. this coming Friday. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, Mike Nisley of the Ohio State Building Trades and Construction Council. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel. For more information, America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Let's go to line number one. Welcome back to the show. Haven't had this guy on for a while. Mike Nisley. He is the Secretary Treasurer of the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council. That website again is ohiostatebtc.org. So he covers all the trades in the state of Ohio, and there's a lot going on, especially in central Ohio. Mike, I was reading earlier, so you took over in, in 2018, and I know you come from the UA, Plumbers and Pipe Fitters in Lima. We got to do a shout-out here. That would be Local 776, but I'll bet you that time kind of flew by. I mean, you got the pandemic in the middle of that. Does it seem like it was 2018?
It has been like a sleigh ride on steroids here. We got in 2018, late 2018, and we wanted to increase our exposure in Columbus. So late 2019 and right in the pandemic, we were in the middle of moving our offices. We got through that, and then everything started falling into place on the amount of work that just started falling into everybody's hands all around the state, but especially Central Ohio, and it's been nonstop since then. The months go by and the seasons go by so quick, but such a robust amount of work around Ohio has kept me a very busy man for the last 5 years.
I know you know Dorsey Hager very, very well. We feature him on the first Friday of every month, so he's just 2 days away. And he's calling Central Ohio the new Silicon Valley because you got Intel, and then Amazon is increasing their presence there, Facebook. I mean, it's just growing by leaps and bounds. Did you ever expect something like this? And maybe we could talk about that, how this actually materialized. I mean, this caught a lot, including yourself. It caught a lot of people by surprise. Can you back to how this was constructed?
Yeah, so around Central Ohio, leading up to late 2021, the data centers were fairly busy, but not at the level they're at now. It had always been an institutional-type town with colleges and hospitals, but all of a sudden, after President Biden got in to office, we started seeing the effects around Ohio, but more so around Central Ohio. Whenever you have good policies like the CHIPS Act and infrastructure, it actually results in good results in cities like Columbus and Cleveland, really all around Ohio. And so we were just not caught off guard, but just surprised when Intel announced. Nobody really saw that coming. And then now that the CHIPS Act has finally been passed and finally into implementation and the money is rolled out, it is going to be just generational for decades on the end results of just that legislation alone, let alone on infrastructure or the IRA, you know, with the EV plants going on around the region.
Let's talk about Intel here, because that's a monumental project. It's going to create, well, it is creating a lot of jobs, at least, what, 7,000 skilled trades jobs. And for years to come, too, it's not even done, and they're talking about expanding it. But I want to talk about getting the workforce together, number one. And also, before we get into that, there's been some delays on this whole thing. I know that it didn't get off the ground right away, and now they're saying this is going to take a little longer. Maybe you could fill us in. And what's causing those delays, Mike?
Yeah, so with any what we call blue chip projects, you're always going to have the ups and downs of this. We thought we would be in a little bit higher amount of workers than what we are right now. But I would say that we probably had a one-year delay. Slowdown is where I'd probably rather call that, because we have kept a steady workforce there. A lot of it was based on their stock performance. Some of it was they had to change course and put resources into Arizona and out in Oregon that had existing plants already working to satisfy a chip order that they had, where, you know, our project is coming out of the ground. So I wouldn't call it, I've been quoted before as disappointed. We're always disappointed when we don't hit the numbers, but I am happy to say we've got a great partner there with Intel, you know, all American company. They do everything, you know, that they can here in the United States. And their commitment to keeping the project going, because we've seen that in the past where projects get pulled right out from underneath your feet. That's not the case here. It's just been a little bit of a slowdown. We're going to be really ramping up this year, and we'll be getting into thousands of workers by the end of the year, probably where we should have been about a year ago. But nonetheless, it is still a great project, and we have all the faith in the world, you know, that we're going to hit the 7,000 workers probably within the next 24 months there to get to the new completion date.
Okay, Mike, let's stop right there, because that's a tall order, and I know you're very aggressive. How are you doing that? I know you keep in touch with all the trades in the state of Ohio, and there's plenty of them. But getting all those people together, getting them trained in time, can you fill us in on how that's being accomplished right now?
Yeah, so it's a combination of a lot of just different programs that the individual unions or their internationals have. You can try and do it through apprenticeship, but that's the long-term solution to this. And it takes 4 to 5 years, you know, to get young people in. Everybody's still dedicated to that vehicle with it, but they're also, I'm seeing massive organizing efforts going on with the electricians, with IBW, with the UA, with plumbers and pipefitters, and some of the other trades as well, where they're aggressively going out and organizing the unorganized. And every union member, that is actually part of your oath, is to bring that person that doesn't enjoy the same wages and benefits as you into the fold. That's where probably I've seen the most direct impact on how to bring people in. And then we also have our Helmets to Hard Hats program, women in trades, and even some trades are going back into the state prisons for people that were previously incarcerated, and setting up programs so when they get out, they can work in some of the trades with that. So it's all hands on deck. Everybody around the country, I don't care what business you're in, has a demographic problem, not enough bodies. I think the trades are doing it better than anybody, because we have success stories that tell people, and the end result is you're going to have not just a job, but a career for the rest of your life with good wages and benefits. So everybody's stepping up. They're tripling their efforts to do this, and I think we're doing fairly well with this.
The money is a lure, too. I remember Darcy telling me that some of these jobs you're going to see well over six figures, maybe $150,000 a year when you throw in the overtime on that. So, yeah, I could see a lot of young people being attracted to that. If you don't mind, I'd like to touch on women in the trades, women in minorities, because I know there's a push nationally to get more women, people of color, involved in the trades. In your opinion, how are we doing in the state of Ohio on that, Mike?
We're doing fairly well. It's in some areas of the state, it's a new program to set up. And so anytime you do that, you have to put a lot of resources into it. But the end result has just been phenomenal. I look at the Cleveland area and even Toledo, they've got probably two of the more mature programs out there. Somebody like Doreen Cannon from the UA 55 Plumbers has been doing this, you know, for decades there. It is the place we need to be. It's a place we should have been years ago, but we are pivoting to that. And every time I see a young female that gets into the trade and the end result, you talk to them later on, they're just so excited. Their excitement level, I saw this at the NAB2 Tradeswomen Conference back in December in D.C. It is just off the charts. It makes guys look very boring. But the end result is they can do the work that the other gender has been doing for decades. They've got all the capabilities of doing it, and they've got the drive to succeed, and not only succeed, but they pass it along. It's great advertisement, you know, when they go to other women and say, look, I went through the apprenticeship program. The guys treated me as an equal. There was no harassment issues. The things have changed. All the bad things that I heard about being in the trades are not true. So it's just a phenomenal energy that's out there. And I am confident that we're going to increase our numbers. Even in the state of Ohio, we have established a tradeswomen committee, and we're working it out through Columbus, through the YWCA in Columbus with online training, and to move them from whatever situation they're in right now into the skilled trades.
It's funny you mentioned Doreen, because she's going to be our second guest on the show today, and she had one heck of a career fair last week, almost 400 people, which was a record for her. So I can't wait to talk to her about that. You know, Mike, I got to take a quick break here. Mike Nisley joining us on our live line right now. He is the Secretary Treasurer of the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council. That website, by the way, ohiostatebtc.org. We'll continue with him right after this.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT. The Alliance for American Manufacturing is a nonprofit, nonpartisan partnership formed back in 2007 by some of America's leading manufacturers and the United Steelworkers. Their mission is simple: strengthen American manufacturing and create new private sector jobs through smart public policies. Keyword there is smart. We need to be smarter than ever in today's highly competitive world. The Alliance for American Manufacturing believes that an innovative and growing manufacturing base is vital to America's economic and national security, as well as providing good jobs for future generations. Good jobs today, good jobs tomorrow. Good American jobs. Find out more at AmericanManufacturing.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit SurveyandBallotSystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at USW.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always, always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Mike Nisley on behalf of the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council, comprised of 137 trade unions representing about 100,000 men and women all around the state of Ohio. Okay, we talked a lot about Central Ohio, talked about the battery plants, Intel, and all that stuff. Outside of that, let's talk about Honda here. I think they're involved in a battery plant, and maybe you could fill us in on where the work is in the state of Ohio, and we can concentrate on that in this second segment. Also, I want to talk about a possible refinery bill, but let's start with Honda. What's the latest there, Mike?
Yes, Honda, LG, it's a joint venture from LG firms from South Korea. It's about 40 miles southwest of Columbus on I-71, not quite halfway between Cincinnati and Columbus, but they have a 3 million plus square foot plant that's coming out of the ground. We've been on the project about a year now, and the most aggressive timeline of any manufacturing plant I've seen. They want to be producing sample batteries for the EV market, electric vehicle market, starting in October. And is just a tremendous plant. It's state-of-the-art technology. You know, when you think back over 100 years where this country was when they went from horses to internal combustion engines, we're at that state now. And the trades have just stepped up. It has kind of been a unique spot between Dayton, Cincinnati, and Columbus. So you've got trade overlap from all those areas, even Portsmouth, Ohio. The iron workers were 3 to 4 weeks ahead of schedule, setting all the steel in the middle of winter. The roofers are doing a great job. The building is starting to get enclosed. And now comes the probably the most intense part with the mechanical and electrical, with probably a combination of over 1,000 between pipe fitters and electricians, possibly even maybe 1,500 in 6 months to get this plant up and running. So I want to just first take my hat off to all the trades that have worked safely in there and have kept this project on time. And that's what we do here with the union building trades.
Yeah, safety is number one. Mike, it's funny you mentioned the iron workers because, well, first of all, we still do the show here at Local 17, Iron Workers Local 17. I started this during the pandemic, and this has been the home of America's workforce since. But the iron workers obviously involved in bridge construction, and you know what happened in Baltimore last week. And I know because of the all the great work that the Biden administration has done, they put a lot into the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, which will obviously build more bridges and rehab the old bridges. I would imagine you being the head of the building, when you saw that bridge come down last week, that had to really set you back. And then think about what kind of traffic went through that channel on a daily basis. I mean, that's going to have a huge impact. But talk about the construction of that, and maybe you can do a shout-out here to those who are going to rebuild that bridge. Any thoughts on that, Mike?
It tore my heartstrings, just like it did everybody. When you saw that go down in just a matter of seconds, just and I keep thinking about, for decades, you know, this country, we haven't paid attention to infrastructure and showing, you know, our highways, the amount of potholes that you have to navigate through there. And everything seems to be falling apart in this country. But on the flip side, in the last couple of years, because of the Biden administration and the passage of the infrastructure bill, which is one of the first major pieces of his legislative career, actually not only helped the building trades, but it goes deeper than that. It helps the communities, you know, for decades to come. That gives me pause, and it gives me, hope that this country is going to get back on their feet and treat infrastructure instead of letting it go for decades, and then you want to rebuild it, and just the wild swings of that we're actually going to take care of things and maintain and have bridges, you know, that are strong enough to withstand accidents like that, and go into just greater concern for the American public with that. Looking ahead, once they clear the channel area of that and get the ship out and get the rest of the steel out of that, then comes a rebuilding process. And we're looking at probably 2 years for at least to rebuild that, so probably somewhere on the same scale, if not larger, of the Brent Spence Bridge that's going to cross the Ohio River, much longer. But it will be a testament, you know, to not only the union tradespeople that are going to work on that. That's a shout out I'd like to put out there, but also a testament to America that we always rebuild from accidents like this. But once again, from the 100,000 men and women that make up the union building trades here in Ohio, just our thoughts and prayers to the people in Baltimore, especially the victims, you know, that perished because of that.
Yeah, it was horrible. Really, really horrible. You mentioned Brent Spence Bridge. Is that fine? Where are we with that right now? I know that was a hot potato for many, many years. A lot of travel, more travel than they expected. Where do we stand with that one, Mike?
So that's all go. It's a joint venture between Kokosing out of Columbus and Walsh, both union contractors, so that'll be a union project. It is actually somewhere between, I believe, 6 and 8 years, finally, because there's more to it than just the bridge. I mean, that is, you know, a huge portion of that thing. But there's also the rework of if you've ever crossed the existing bridge right now in Cincinnati, you know, you come down south I-75 and you get into this bottleneck right there at the city. They want to alleviate that, as well as the bottleneck when you come down the hill from northern Kentucky crossing over into Ohio. So there's a lot of intricacies that go on, you know, to make that project, just besides the steel itself. But that is going to be just such a relief for not only the people of Cincinnati, but I think 6% of the gross domestic goods cross that bridge on a single day in Ohio. So it's a vital portion of the needs for America. We just have to be patient, and we know that the tradespeople will get the job done.
There you go. All right, finally, refinery bill. I understand there's some discussion on this. Where do we stand with that? What kind of work are we talking about on that right now, Mike?
So this thing is probably pushing now 2.5 or 3 years. It's changed numbers. It was House Bill 235, and then anytime the General Assembly changes, you have to go back to the drawing board. Now it's House Bill 205, and this affects the two refineries in Toledo and then the one in Lima. With this, you know, it's all in the hands. It's passed out of the House last June of 2023, and this is how legislation, it's just such a slow drip in Columbus, just a smaller mechanism of D.C. It sets now for hearings and for possible implementation of it sometime this year, but we're in election year. And the state politicians are no different, you know, than what the federal politicians are. They are concerned about their elections. And so sometimes legislation just stalls. I'm hopeful that it gets, you know, the hearings in the Senate, and definitely hopeful that it's passed. It's much needed. But at the same time, you know, I've been around Columbus long enough to see what really goes on there, and a little discouraged about it. It's got heavy opposition from the Ohio Chamber, from the Business Roundtable. Americans for Prosperity have run ads against politicians that supported it. But I came from that industry. I've worked in those refineries. You need all hands on deck, and you need all hands on deck that are properly trained, that can work in that kind of environment. You don't want to just hire the local kid that delivered pizzas the day before and put him in that kind of environment and expect to have successful results. Because the problem of it is when those refineries go boom, it devastates the entire community. It's a very volatile industry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully they'll move forward on that. It's funny you bring up the legislature. I had a conversation with Tim Berga yesterday of the Ohio AFL-CIO, and he said that this is probably one of the most least productive legislative sessions going back to probably 40 years. So it's sad that, you know, projects like this, which are needed, are not getting done. All right, Mike, I'm going to leave it on that note. Thank you so much for the time. Mike Nisley, Secretary Treasurer of the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council, website ohiostatebtc.org. They are a force in the state of Ohio. Mike, you take care. Stay safe. We'll talk down the road. Okay, brother?
Thank you very much for having me today.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Doreen Cannon, she managed one heck of a career fair last week in northeastern Ohio, and she's going to talk about it next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives. Now more than ever, it's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust.
Hey, this is Sean McGarvey, and I'm president of North America's Building Trades Unions, and I'm a proud listener of America's Workforce. I love this podcast.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Joining us from Madison, Wisconsin today is Doreen Cannon. Now, Doreen put together a career fair last week, like she has done in years past, but this one was explosive. Almost 400 people came in. All the trades were there. We're going to get into that. But, Doreen, what is taking you to Madison, Wisconsin today? Let's start right there. Go ahead.
So I am here for ASSE, which is the American Society of Sanitary Engineering, mid-year meeting. I sit on the board of directors.
Sanitary engineering. I need an explanation on that. It's all yours.
So we are an organization that supplies product standards and qualification, professional qualification standards. So in the industry, we help protect the health of the nation, prevention rather than cure. So we're in the plumbing industry. We provide standards on products but that they'll meet the standards to keep clean water clean and to individuals to get certifications, like in medical gas insulation and things like that.
Gotcha, gotcha. We should point out that Doreen was the past president of Plumbers Local 55 in Northeastern Ohio. That website, plumbers55.com. How long have you, altogether in the trade, how long have you been involved, Doreen?
26 years.
26 years. Okay. And I know you and I have talked about, you know, women getting involved in the trades. In fact, women and people of color, there's a construction apprenticeship readiness program that that's coming up here. But first, 395 people. How the heck did you do that?
Everyone was so excited. That was really our best career fair to date. We do two of those a year, October and March. March is usually a little bit bigger, and I think it's because we're pooling high school students or seniors who are getting ready to graduate and trying to figure out exactly what am I going to do in a couple months after I get that diploma. So we had a lot of young people there. And we've been doing these since 2017 is when I started. And then, you know, the year off with COVID. So it takes a while to establish that people start to realize this is a regular occurring event. And I think we've finally done it. I think people realize that this happens and that careers in the trades are becoming more and more things people are thinking about. I think it's finally turning around where people are realizing not everybody needs to go to college, that it's not for everybody. So I really think that's kind of all played together to make this our biggest event yet.
So you've been hitting the high schools. Talk to me about that because, well, as you know, and I'm a lot older than you. I remember there was shop class in high mm-hmm. school. That went by the wayside many, many years ago. And, you know, the high schools, the counselors, they push all these kids to college. And I think they get graded on that by how many decide to go to college.
Yeah.
But that seems to be changing. And have the high schools been receptive to the trades coming in? Is that happening?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've been doing career fairs for years for the Cleveland Building Trades, but recently I see more counselors coming up to talk to me at a table, picking up information to keep on file for their students. There's a lot more schools that are bringing back some of those shop-type classes. construction classes for the students there. So that's changing too. So I definitely think it's finally changing, that people are finally realizing. And a lot of times when I talk to those counselors, they don't really understand the amazing thing that these apprenticeships are. And after I explain to them that it doesn't cost anything and you're earning wages, that they're pretty blown away by it. And, I think they're getting receptive to starting to present that as an option to their students.
Well, speaking of college, I noted that Tri-C was part. That's Cuyahoga Community College. They were part of this career fair last week. Have they normally been involved? And maybe you could talk about that, because Tri-C has been very receptive to especially the trades, and they've involved, when it comes to like auto mechanics things. I know we're getting out of the subject here, but it's important to get those skills, and, especially today's cars are not what they used to be in years past. But that being said, what was Tri-C's role in all of this?
So Tri-C also offers like a readiness or a pre-apprenticeship program. I think it runs for 8 weeks, and it's the same idea of trying to present the career options in the trades to students. And then remember that most of the trades have an agreement with Tri-C, as our apprentices are going through the program, they're earning college credits at the same time through Tri-C or other local colleges. So by the time an apprentice graduates or upgrades to journey level, they're only a few classes short of an associate's degree through Tri-C or local community college.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, we had a number of trades there at the career fair last week. Was there anyone, I know this might be difficult too, because you want to be fair to all of them, but obviously there's some that probably got more of an audience than the others. Maybe you can run down a few, be judicious on this one, Doreen.
Well, I mean, with that many people there, everybody was talking to people constantly, but I will say that we tend to get a line at the electricians and the carpenters. Those are two.
Okay.
Those are the two that seem to get the most individuals asking about them. Or else they talk too long to each individual, so it takes them longer to get through the 395. How about we look at it like that?
Maybe they
talk a little slower, yeah.
That could be the case. I heard that about the electrician. Seems like everybody wants to be an electrician today because everybody needs power. And, you got the electric cars and all that kind of stuff, and we're going to need charging stations. So
yeah,
that's understandable.
Yeah, I would say, I always say people think when these people come to the career fair, they always think of, I call them like the big four. Everybody thinks you need, electricians, carpenters, plumbers, and heating and cooling, HVAC, sheet metal workers to build a building. Nobody thinks of those other, 14 other trades that are out there offering apprenticeship programs. That's why I like this career fair so much, because it forces people to see the variety of trades out there, not just those ones you automatically think about, and maybe open their eyes to go in a different direction.
There you go. And they all need workers. They all do. No doubt about that. Okay, we got a couple of minutes left here. I got your release about this apprenticeship readiness program for women taught by tradeswomen, and I see Tuesdays and Thursdays. I see one coming up April 6th. I guess it's from April 16th through May 2nd. And this sounds like this has your fingerprints all over it, Doreen.
Well, it's coming from Cleveland Builds. Cleveland Builds holds this readiness pre-apprenticeship program on a revolving basis. There's one going on all the time. So they have decided to do an all-female one. This will be the first one that they're doing. So that's coming up in April. And, yes, it'll be all tradeswomen teaching them in the shop. I like the class. It's a great class. It's 18 hours. And what it is, it's, again, opens up individuals to all the different trades that are there. They brush people up on math to get them ready to take some of those entrance exams to get into the apprenticeships, the shop projects, using all different kinds of tools. They had talk about all the different trades. And at the end, when someone completes the program, they help with placement. So if you do decide you want to become a pipe fitter, they'll get you in the right direction, point you to the person to talk to. If you want an individual to talk to, they can connect you with them, kind of a mentoring program. So it's really, really great. It's perfect for someone who wants to get in the trades but doesn't know which direction they want to go. And maybe they need a little self-confidence, just working with some tools, doing some shop projects. brushing up on math, give somebody the confidence they need to go ahead and take the next step into an apprenticeship.
I like it. Union Construction Apprenticeship Readiness Program for Women, taught by tradeswomen, Tuesdays and Thursdays from April 16th through May 2nd, and it runs from 5:30 to 8:30. It's funded by Sherwin-Williams. Here's a phone number, too, 216-314-1682. Let me repeat that, 216-314-1682. Doreen, great job. I'm going to let you go back to your conference there. Please stay in touch with us here on America's Workforce, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and life on the grocery line. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.